Chapter 8. Edgar had left by the time Hindley came in, drunk and swearing at the top of his voice. I put Hareton in the kitchen cupboard to keep him safe from his father. The poor little thing remained perfectly quiet wherever I chose to put him.
"Where's my son?"
shouted Hindley, grabbing me by the back of the neck as if I were a dog.
"I'll kill you, Nelly, if you don't tell me where he is. I'll stick this carving knife down your throat."
"I don't like the carving knife, Mr. Hindley," said I. "I have been cutting fish with it and it smells. I'd prefer to be shot, please."
"You prefer to be damned. Open your mouth."
He pushed the point of the knife between my teeth. I spat it out and said it tasted awful. Just then I saw Hareton standing at the door crying pitifully. Hindley saw him too, dropped the knife and grabbed the child, who only cried all the louder.
"What's wrong with him? Doesn't he love his father? What an unnatural child!"
cried Hindley, but the child kept screaming. Hindley ran upstairs and held little Hareton over the banister.
"Be quiet and kiss your father, or I'll drop you!"
cried Hindley. I rushed up to save the child, but as I reached the top, I saw Hindley bend forward over the banister.
"Who is that coming in?"
he asked vaguely, and Hareton wriggled out of his grasp and fell. There was hardly time to feel a thrill of horror when we saw that the child was safe. Heathcliff, whose step we had heard, arrived below and instinctively caught the child in his arms. But when he looked up and saw that it was Hindley who had let Hareton drop, his face showed clearly that he regretted having caught the child. His vengeful heart would have enjoyed watching the drunken father weep for the son he had accidentally killed. Hindley came downstairs and poured himself a glass of brandy. "Oh, sir, you've had more than enough already," I cried, trying to take the glass from his hand. "Have mercy on this unfortunate child if you have none on your own soul." He raised the glass out of my reach and made a toast.
"Here's to my own soul's damnation,"
cried the blasphemer.
"Now, get out of my sight, all of you."
I went to the kitchen to comfort little Hareton. Heathcliff walked through the kitchen. I thought he had gone out to the stables to feed the horses, but later I discovered that he had lain down on a bench by the wall, far away from the light of the fire, and remained silent. I rocked Hareton in my arms and sang a song to him that began, "It was late at night and the babies cried and their mother heard them in her grave." Then Miss Cathy, who had heard all the trouble from her room, came in and whispered,
"Are you alone, Nelly?"
"Yes, miss," I replied. She came and sat beside me, and I saw a tear roll down her cheek. For a moment, I thought she had come to say she was sorry for having treated me so badly. But no, she was upset about her own concerns, as usual.
"I'm so unhappy,"
she said. "What a pity," said I. "You have everything in the world, and yet you can't be happy."
"Today, Edgar Linton asked me to marry him, Nelly, and I gave him an answer. Before I tell you what my answer was, I want you to tell me what it should have been."
"Really, Miss Cathy, I don't know. If he asked you after your dreadful behaviour, you probably should have refused him because he must be a fool."
"I accepted him, Nelly. Be quick. Say whether I was right or wrong."
I put Miss Cathy through a sort of catechism. "Do you love him?" I asked.
"Yes, I do."
"Why do you love him?"
"Because he is handsome and pleasant."
"Bad," said I.
"And he loves me."
"That's a little better, but not much."
"And he will be rich, and I would love to be rich."
"Worst of all! Now, tell me why you are unhappy. Your brother will be pleased that you are to marry Mr. Linton, and his parents will not object. You will escape from a disorderly, comfortless home to a wealthy, respectable one. You love Edgar, and he loves you. All seems smooth and easy. Where is the obstacle?
Here and here,
cried Catherine, striking her forehead and then her breast.
Wherever the soul lives, in my soul, in my heart, I am convinced that I am wrong.
I don't understand you, said I. She was silent for a while, then she said,
Nelly, do you ever have strange dreams?
Sometimes.
So do I. I've dreamt dreams that have stayed with me ever after and changed my ideas. They've gone through me like wine through water and changed the colour of my mind. And this is one. I'm going to tell it, but you must not smile at any part of it.
Very well, said I.
I dreamt I was in heaven, Nelly, but I was extremely miserable. Heaven did not seem to be my home, and I wept and wept until the angels became angry and threw me out, and I landed in the middle of the moors at Wuthering Heights, and I woke up sobbing for joy. That will explain my secret. I should not marry Edgar Linton any more than I should live in heaven. And if Hindley had not brought Heathcliff so low, I would never have thought of it. It would degrade me to marry Heathcliff now, so he shall never know how I love him.
I noticed a movement in the shadows and saw that Heathcliff had been there, listening all the time. He crept out silently. Cathy did not notice anything. She went on,
I don't love Heathcliff because he's handsome. I love him because he's more myself than I am. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same, and Linton's is as different as moonbeam from lightning or frost from fire. My great miseries in this world have been Heathcliff's miseries. If all else perished and he remained, I would go on living. But if he perished, the universe would seem a great stranger to me, and I would not seem to be a part of it. My love for Linton is like the leaves on the trees. Time will change it, I know. My love for Heathcliff is like the eternal rocks beneath, a source of little visual delight, but necessary. Nelly, I am Heathcliff. He is always in my mind, not as a pleasure any more than I am always a pleasure to myself, but as my own being.
But think, Miss Cathy, if Heathcliff loves you as you say you love him, how terrible it will be for him to lose you.
Lose me? Why should he lose me? We shall be together as we always have been. But you see, Nelly, if I married Heathcliff, we would have no money. If I marry Edgar, I can help Heathcliff to rise and place him out of my brother's power.
Well, Miss Cathy, that is the worst reason you have given so far for marrying Edgar Linton. I can't understand your nonsense, miss, and I must make the dinner, so tell me no more secrets, please. When dinner was ready, I went to look for Heathcliff, but I could not find him. By this time there was a great thunderstorm, and wind and rain were lashing the moors. I told Cathy that Heathcliff had heard part of what she had said to me, and now he was nowhere to be found. She cried out as if in pain, and ran to find him herself. She ran to the top of the hill and called out his name. Then she sent Joseph out to search for him on the moor, and I went to look for him in the barn, but none of us found him. We did not see Heathcliff again that night, or for years to come.
At this point, Mrs. Dean looked at the clock.
My goodness, Mr. Lockwood, it's midnight. I must be off and let you sleep.
And indeed I did want to sleep. I felt weak and ill, with aching head and limbs.